If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to find Psalm 119. If you were with us last week, you know that I encouraged you, whether you're online with us, thank you for joining us online, or whether you're here in person. We're going to do something different that we've never done in this church, but it's something that the Lord placed on my heart a couple of months ago when I was preparing for sermons for this fall. It was to take Psalm 119 and use the divisions that God has already given us. If you know anything about Psalm 119, you know that there are 176 verses in that one chapter. It makes it the longest chapter in the Bible. All 176 verses are about God's Word, every part of it. And so it's divided into 22 sections based on the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Each section has 8 verses in it. So I prayerfully asked 22 different people, if they would take 8 verses, they would read those over a 30-day period, some a little longer, some a little bit shorter, but about a month each. If they would take those 8 verses, they would read them, think about them, meditate on them, and then on their Sunday, corresponding to the verses that they have chosen or have been assigned, that they would come and share those 8 verses with us, and then they'll share how those 8 verses have impacted their lives. The point of all of this is to remind us that God's Word tells us everything that we need to know, because it's God's Word. So I'm asking you to pray with me this morning and ask the Lord to speak to you through these 7 who are going to come and share God's Word with us today. Father, we thank you for the power of your Word. We thank you that it doesn't have to come from a preacher. It can simply be read by each of us. Father, I thank you for these 7 that have prepared and taken time to study your Word. There are 8 verses. And I pray you'd use them again this morning in this service, as you did in the first service, to challenge us, to bless us, and to help us see the power of your Word as you use it in each of our lives. Father, help each of us to be open to your Holy Spirit speaking to us whatever you might want to say to us today through your Word and through your servants. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Philip, please come.
Good morning. Psalms 119, verses 1 through 8. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all of your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. I often find myself, when I read scripture, reading it linearly, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, and I finish one section that I'm in and I move on to the next one, and I kind of find myself in that pattern. And a habit I've noticed lately is that I've kind of slipped into reading scripture with the purpose of preparing for a Bible study I might be going to, or preparing to teach something I might be teaching. And Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So for me, for these past 4 weeks, I've been convicted that I don't give God's Word time to pierce my soul and to discern my inner thoughts of my heart. I've been reminded of the power and the importance of meditating on Scripture. So about halfway through this time, about 2 weeks ago, I looked up at my verses. I had them printed out and nailed up on the wall next to my computer, and I looked up at them as I had done many times before, and all of a sudden these words started sticking out at me like they never had before. It was words like walk and keep, diligently and ways, fixed, praise, learn. And I read the phrases that went along with those after I highlighted them. It was walk in the law, keep his testimonies, do no wrong, walk in his ways, diligently keep his precepts, ways be steadfast, eyes fixed on all of his commandments, praise him, learn his righteous rules, and keep his statutes. And for me, I find it easy to be active in things, like working or doing things around the house. I find it easy to be active even in opening up the Word of God and reading it for the purpose of prepping for a Bible study I'm a part of or for teaching. But what I was convicted of was, do I meditate on it to let it pierce my soul? And so what I'm taking away from this time that I've had is this the reminder of the value of meditating on Scripture long enough to allow God to use it to pierce my soul and discern the thoughts and intentions of my heart so that I might better serve Him.
Good morning. I'll be reading verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Reading these verses provided me with a lot of perspective on being intentional with my heart posture when I'm doing things and when I'm giving time to the Lord. Along with that, I believe God was leading me to read these verses so that he could strengthen my desire for knowing and understanding his word the way that these verses describe, so that in my day-to-day life, I truly live out what I just read. Verses 9 and verses 11 really stuck with me over the last 30 days. And verse 9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." That one's fairly straightforward. I don't have much to say about that one. But verse 11 says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." And that one really gave me the thought and the just belief that knowing the word so well that our heart posture may be fixed in line with God's is one of the big aspects of his will for us. Thank you.
Psalm 119, 17 through 24. Be good to your servant while I live, that I may obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are accursed, those who stray from your commands. Remove from me their scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight. They are my counselors. When I first read this, I was surprised to see that my posture was It was almost hardened. I feel like over the last few years, I've conditioned myself to question anything that says law or authority. And so I was surprised when I read that, how kind of I responded. But then I went on to read, but God's laws were given to free us, to be all that he wants us to be. They restrict us from doing what might hurt us, cripple us, and keep us from being our best. God's guidelines help us to follow his path and avoid destructive paths and beliefs. And if I were to give you, I could give you examples of that over a lot of the years of my life. But when Pastor Steve asked us to really reflect on just the last 30 days, I struggled for a little bit to see where that really applied and fit to me. But then I remembered that what it's telling us is this is our map that they have that Jesus and God has given us to follow our life. So just like for my son's football game on Friday, we didn't know where we were going. We had never been to that field before. We used our GPS. We plugged it in. It told us when to turn left. It told us when to exit. It told us when we had arrived. And so that's what this is doing for our lives. And so when we fall short, and we will fall short, when I lose my temper and raise my voice at my kids, or I lack the compassion that my husband so deserves, that he's struggling with something, or I'm not as quick to put others before myself, I'm also reminded that I get to come back to this. I also get to make that U-turn or that left turn. I get to turn back around, and I come back to this to find that this tells me and how I should live and how I walk in a way that glorifies God.
Good morning. Psalm 119, 25 through 32. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I gave an account of my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me, and teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart upon your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. When I first read these verses, initially, nothing stood out to me. After meditating on them and reading them, things began to become more clear and relatable to my life. Proof that Scripture is living and active. Like a seed planted in the dirt, it takes time and nurturing for it to produce fruit. The fruit for me came in the form of a prayer as I related to these 8 verses to my life, one that might not sound like it came from 2,000 years ago, but came from today, in fact, in the last 30 days. And what I also noticed was that all of these things that I wrote down as my prayer are things that I had prayed before and not necessarily correlated them to these particular scriptures. So here's the prayer. Here's the fruit. God, my focus falls on worldly things too often. Work, finances, things that have no eternal meaning. Please help me to lift my perspective and shift my focus to things with eternal significance. Lord, you know my heart and my desires. Please lead me through your word. Please give me the wisdom and understanding of your word so that I can fulfill your plan for my life. Be a good husband to Kathy, a good father to Carson, Kate, Austin, and Hadley, and to glorify you. Lord, I'm not capable on my own, but with you and through you, your strength will carry me. Every night, if I turn on the news or read an article, my heart is filled with sorrow. The world is full of lies, and I ask that you open my eyes to the truth in all things. God, I choose to follow you, and I will study the Bible to guide me. The Bible is my lifeline, and I know it will never let me down. Please keep me hungry for your word and provide wisdom for me to understand it more completely.
Okay, Psalm 119, 33 through 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts and your righteousness. Give me life. So the first time I read this, when I knew these were going to be my 8 verses, there were immediately 2 that jumped out at me. And then as I continued to read it for the last month or so, those same 2 continued to kind of pop out at me again and again. So I'm going to focus mostly on those two verses. So the first verse was verse 36, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. So my Bible has this handy little chart that talks about the meaning of some of these words. So testimonies can be also translated as what God solemnly testifies to be his will. So in other words, incline my heart to what you say your will is and not to selfish gain. And this really made me pause and reflect on my motives for doing things. Do I do things for some sort of selfish gain, some sort of payoff for me? Or am I doing this because it's in the will of God and it's what he's called me to do? So that's been convicting as I've throughout this last month tried to pause and just reflect on my motives, whether it's working, which there's nothing wrong with working, we all need to work, but am I working just so I can make more money to buy more things for selfish gain, or am I doing it to glorify God? And then the next verse is the very next one that popped out at me, verse 37, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. So I found myself realizing lots of worthless things that I can spend my time on, the things I look at. Immediately, like TV and social media came to my mind for some of the worthless things that I can spend my time on. I'll get stuck watching some silly video that popped up on my social media feed or something like that. So I remember one particular morning, I had kind of spent some extra time on these verses, praying through them, and meditating on them, and this verse really continued to just hit me about these worthless things. So as I continued on with my day, my work day, I chose to just play worship music for the whole day, rather than a lot of times I would listen to a podcast or an audiobook and just have those in my earbuds as I worked. And that's more just for kind of entertainment value, but I made that conscious decision to put on the worship music. And I was amazed at what an effect it had on my day. I found myself pausing and like singing along to the music or praising and thanking God. I was more joyful throughout the day. Even my just mental clarity was better. My brain wasn't so foggy as I was trying to get things done. So I was just amazed by how that simple switch had such a profound impact on my day. And that continued to prove true on the mornings, the days that I spent time on these eight verses, versus the days I maybe skipped it or forgot about it. There were differences in those days, that God's word does pierce the heart. It does make a difference when we spend time in it. So that was my main takeaway from these verses.
I'm going to read verses 41 to 48. May your unfailing love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I will answer the one who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I lift up my hands to your commands, which I love, and I meditate on your decrees. There are so many positive words in those verses that I just read. Words like unfailing, promise, trust, truth, hope, freedom, delight, love. Verse 41 says, may your unfailing love come to me, O Lord. His love is unfailing. It's steadfast. It's everlasting. It's never ending. That is his love for me. The Lord loves me. Nothing can change that. I trust in that. I put my hope in that. My life verse is Jeremiah 29:11. For I have a plan for you, declares the Lord, a plan not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. The Lord declares that. I don't know what that plan is. I don't need to know what that plan is, for I trust in a plan of hope for me. Verse 44 says, I will always obey your law forever and ever. Well, that's my intention. That's my goal. Every morning when I awaken, it is my intention to obey God's laws. However, some days the world gets in the way. Some days don't go the way of my intentions. Some days little things intervene, and some days disaster strikes. But I have the promise of my Lord's unfailing love. I know God has a plan. I know I'm not alone. I have hope promised by my Lord. Verse 46 says, I will speak of your statutes and not be put to shame. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm speaking of God's statutes. Right now to you, I'm speaking of my love, my trust in the Lord with no shame. Verse 47 says, for I delight in your commands. I love that word, delight. I delight in his commands because I love them, I love him, I trust him. And finally, verse 48 says, I lift up my hands to your commands. I meditate on your decrees. I meditate. I lift up my hands and I praise the Lord. I rely on God's commands. I pray with a trust that I have in him. As I referred to Jeremiah 29, verses 12 and 13 continue with the Lord saying, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
Good morning. Couple things before I start. Like I said in the first service, Steve didn't tell y'all we only had 4 minutes. So we spend 30 days reading and we got 4 minutes to talk about it. Plus, don't ever go last, especially behind this group. So I'm going to be reading from starting in chapter 49. Remember the word your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your ordinance from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes are my song in the house of my pilgrimage. O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. This has become mine, that I observe your precepts. So I think y'all could kind of see there's like a general theme that's going through these verses. There's just, they kind of all have this a little bit of the same, the reflection that the author was giving. So in these verses, the key words that I found were, or the key concepts where there's hope in God's word, there's comfort in God's word, and then there's the promises that God has made to us. So just to be honest, when I started reading these, I think a couple of other people had the same deal. Nothing really was coming to me. I just kept trying and kept reading, and sometimes that's just what you have to do. You have to work at it a little bit to make God's word come alive. So what kind of, I think, was in the way a little bit, my wife Gina and I, we've been praying for our daughter Bailey. So Our daughter is she's was coming up for an evaluation to get her private pilot's license. So she's got this bright idea. She wants to be a pilot. And I don't know if any of y'all have had to deal with it. If you haven't, you will, where you have to teach your kid to drive a car. And so, like my saying is that she can't even park her car. How can she fly a plane? But anyway, amplify teaching your kid to drive by 100, putting your kid in an airplane. And one thing's good is we're not there all the time, so we don't have to see it. But anyway, so as I was praying for that, I think God started working on me reading these verses. And so he reminded me that through his word, we can have hope in all things. Big things like salvation. Small things like a private pilot's license. There were times when things weren't going right for her, and so just like scheduling, weather, FFA evaluator, just things that are kind of out of her control, but that's stuff she had to deal with. But we were constantly reminded that we can find comfort in God's word because he's in control of all things and has a plan for us. As we look at how God has worked in our lives, we can also find comfort in how he has delivered in the past. So as we continually pray and seek God, we are reminded of his promises. Promises that whatever the outcome, we can always lean on our God and his word because his word does not change. Things like a pilot's license are important in the moment, but seeking God in everything and remembering we can have hope in his word is what he wants. We can find comfort in all situations through his word, big or small. His word tells us he has made promises and he will keep them. Our job is to pray, lean on his understanding, and know that he will deliver. She also passed yesterday.
I'm asking you to bow your head and close your eyes with me. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit in this moment, with your head bowed and your eyes closed in an attitude of prayer, ask the Holy Spirit what he's saying to you today through his word and through these testimonies of his word. What is he saying to you and to your heart today? And then what are you going to do about it? Father, we thank you that you have spoken to us again today through your word. We thank you for the way you wove these testimonies together and you spoke to us. While they were different, they were the same. And so, Father, I pray that you would help each of us to grab a hold of what you are saying to us and then act upon it. Because it's your word and it's true. Amen. And Father, we've heard how you changed hearts and minds over the last 30 days of looking at 8 verses. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us to still our hearts before you and that we would spend time in your word and allow it to penetrate in the way that you designed for it to, and then help us to do what you are asking us to do from your word. We thank you that it's not more complicated than that. It's very simple. Father, thank you for using these 7 today to share their hearts with us as they found your word impacting their hearts and their lives and everything about them. May it not stop. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.